Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at tricountycontractingwi.com.
Rattled by those questions. I would put her on point, and I would say you answer every question. If there are things you can't answer because the person, whatever.
Yep, you can say that.
You take every question until these people are exhausted. You outlast them because people want to know stuff. And these folks, and I give the reporters credit, they're not going away. They are dogging them, as they should.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Petrano.
At 6:12 on this Thursday morning, here's how the news conference from Milwaukee Public School Board ended.
So many of you guys have said that you did not know about these financial documents from 2020.
All right.
Yikes.
There's more. How long do you want that to go? Reporters lost their minds when officials wrapped, having taken just two questions. As MPS tries to dig out of this mess that threatens federal and state funding for Wisconsin's largest school district, board held a news conference day after the superintendent resigned. Here's how it began.
Good afternoon. My name is Marva Herndon, president of the Milwaukee Board of School Directors.
And prior to this week, virtually no one knew who I was.
And I very much wish that was still the case.
Right. Can't we just remain in anonymity here? So the board president gets up, says we're working on it. Now, there was some information in there, so I'm going to bullet point a few things for you so that we have more than just the shouting. But you will hear the shouting again. Mm-hmm. District this week said it did begin submitting financial data to the State Department of Public Instruction. Full draft expected to be submitted by the end of the week. And that will be followed by review and additional data as they are working closely with DPI. So there is progress there. And I suppose on the immediate question of will the state withhold funding really for MPS long term, it looks like MPS is on the road to ensuring that that is not the case.
Sure, right.
So that is good news in fairness to the board. Next, they'll review candidates for interim superintendent next week. Once they have an interim, then they'll do a national search for a long-term super. Also, the comptroller. What is a comptroller? It's one of the top financial people. Mm-hmm. Comptroller, mm-hmm. I believe, would report to the CFO, but one of the numbers people. The comptroller for MPS is out. MPS wouldn't say he got fired. They said the position is vacant. But Alfredo Balmasada telling TMJ4 News he was fired.
From yesterday to today, I'm so relieved.
Yeah, you heard that right. I'm so relieved. That's the guy, and he's glad to be out. He'd been in the job for only about a year. And you'll hear him, and then in this cut here, TMJ4's Marion McCarr follow-up, detail the deep, deep mess all of MPS financials are in.
The organization that was put in place when the system was implemented was basically not good for accounting.
Documents obtained by TMJ4 show that in 2022, auditors were having the same issues, saying the district was deficient in preparing financial statements, budgeting state and federal money, and adjusting entries in the budget.
So your basics. And this comptroller says, I walked into this job.
Wow.
So maybe he's covering for himself to a degree.
Probably.
Okay, I'll allow for that.
Yeah, it could be.
But he wasn't in that job that long, and he said, this was a mess when I got here. Reporters were asking about the district's chief financial officer. Could she be fired? What about the board? TMJ4 says they got documents suggesting the board knew for years that things were a mess and failed to resolve all of these issues. And after less than 8 minutes of this quote-unquote news conference.
Thank you very much. We're going to have another update on Friday afternoon.
So the shouting continues. So they said, oh, two questions. Those were your two. We're wrapped here.
That I think someone's not getting some good advice. If you were their PR strategist, which isn't a word, but what would you tell them?
Well, first of all, they seem to be floating out the vice president of the board, Jilly Gokul Gandhi, a little bit more than Marva Herndon, who's president of the board. She is calm and clear-spoken and seems to have a doesn't get rattled by those questions. I would put her on point. And I would say you answer every question. If there are things you can't answer because of personnel, whatever.
Yep, you can say that.
You take every question until these people are exhausted. You outlast them because people want to know stuff. And these folks, and I give the reporters credit, they're not going away. They are dogging them, as they should. So other issue that came up, people have texted us here saying, what about the referendum? Many voters feel like they were duped, like they never would have voted just weeks ago in favor of dropping that $250 million annually on MPS if they knew things were such a mess. That question was addressed to an extent at the meeting, and we'll get into that in greater detail coming up on our show at about 7:20 this morning.
We realize there are a lot of questions right now, and we're happy to provide information today.
Several of you guys have said that you did not know about these financial documents until 2022.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Vitrano.
Vince, we'll start with some breaking NBA news this morning. ESPN reporting that the Los Angeles Lakers are preparing a massive long-term contract to bring in UConn's Dan Hurley as their next head coach. Dan Hurley, of course, just won back-to-back championships with the UConn Huskies. Now it appears he will be on his way to the NBA.
College coach to pro coach, always an important debate.
Like, Jim Harbaugh did the same thing, by the way.
Yeah.
Football championship. Yeah. Now he's with the Chargers. Interesting.
That is interesting. Were there other top candidates? Did everybody think it was going to be somebody else?
I don't know. J.J. Redick was on. Lakers doing what Lakers do. Well, that was a dud.
Contreras will be off with the pitch. And it's a called third strike. Sinker cut the low inside corner. Adames strikes out looking.
The Brewers get swept out of Philly. The pitching held up. Aaron Ashby, the first start of the year, gives up two hits. One of them a two-run dinger. But it was the offense that just didn't make the trip. 2-0 the final score Wednesday afternoon. Now, every game in this series against one of the best teams in baseball was really close. Could have gone either way. Skipper Pat Murphy says they can learn from this.
Taking these three on the chin, they could have won. Every game could have went either way. Taking these on the chin here against best record in the National League, like, hopefully that sits in the right place for these guys, and they understand, hey, we're right there.
Up next for the crew, a series in Detroit starting tomorrow. We'll check in with GM Matt Arnold for Brewers 360 at 7:45.
Packers wrap up OTAs in Green Bay today. Packers quarterback Jordan Love asked earlier this spring if he didn't get a new long-term deal with the Packers before training camp, would he consider holding out? Love didn't exactly go there. ESPN's Adam Schefter, he didn't think it's going to come down to that anyway.
Okay, so if they don't get it done the first day of training camp, does it matter if they do it by the second or the third day really that much? No. Look, here's the deal. Jordan Love would like to do the deal. The Packers would like to do the deal. And I think we all could agree that they want to get it done sooner rather than later. Ideally in the next month before people go on their vacations. And then, if not then right away, right when you get back to training camp.
Schefter, a regular guest on ESPN Milwaukee's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Now, there's some other speculation out there that if he were just to play out this last year, he's due an even bigger payday if he plays the season and has another good one.
Could be the highest paid quarterback in the league next year.
So we'll share that perspective with you coming up in sports at 6:45. Director of the U.S. Secret Service this week, Kim Cheadle, in town touring venues for the Republican National Convention. We also expect an update today for the Secret Service and local law enforcement on preparations for that July event in Milwaukee. Had an interesting conversation, E, about the security footprint with Father Mike Bertram of Capuchin Community Services. Why is this important to them? They're the folks who, among other things, run St. Ben's Community Meal, which, if you know the spot, is on the western edge of downtown Milwaukee.
So in or near or right on the zone.
Turns out, like, right up against it. And they are taking steps ahead of the convention, not only to continue serving that meal, but also to protect the guests who count on it.
The security zone runs right along 9th Street, and we are on that block. Yeah. We are on State Street between 9th and 10th, so it bumps directly up to our property. We will conduct the meal because we recognize that the poor, our guests that come to us, they really need that just to live. We're going to have to do some careful communication with the folks so that they understand, you know, come in from the north, come in from the west, but hopefully we can direct folks so that they can still get to St. Ben's. And most people are pretty savvy. I mean, they'll find a way to get there. We just want to protect them against some of the security boundaries that are there.
And for your volunteers and your suppliers as well.
Correct. Yep. But we think we can do it. We really want to make sure that we don't disrupt that important service, that important ministry to the poor.
So the Capuchins say they serve about 150 to 200 people a night who end up at St. Ben's, but they're so committed to serving that group of people that not only are they not saying, well, you know, we got the RNC, yeah, nothing we can do, we better shut this down.
Right.
They're actually expanding their operation around St. Ben's.
We don't want folks just, you know, straying into the security zone and then possibly getting into trouble. And many of the folks have mental illness. So they really trust us. They'll come to us. They appreciate what we offer. So we're really ramping up our services for that week just so that we can protect the guests that come to us and really make their lives a little easier and more comfortable.
So Father Mike said they're going to operate St. Ben's not only as that community meal, but a cooling shelter during the day so folks can stay there. And they're working to provide overnight guest services as well. So he's just worried that, you know, some folks who deal with the things that they do might become confused. You don't want them tangling with law enforcement,
right,
who's
right,
all
right.
ramped up, trying to protect a security mm-hmm. zone.
High sensitive area.
Exactly. Let's maybe keep them all here and keep them safe. If you want to help the Capuchins in their continuing ministry, they do have the Capuchin Walk for the Hungry. That's on opening night of Polish Fest. These are good people. I've dealt with the folks over there for many years in my work at TMJ4. So coming up on June 14th, that's an easy walk with a donation to the cause on that first day of Polish Fest. Would love to have you out and supporting their great work. So Packers quarterback Jordan Love has 1 year left on his short-term extension. Should he take the money now in a big deal or play it out? I'll tell you why one former NFL GM says, if I were Jordan Love, I'd wait and see what happens.
Right now in Normandy, France.
1802 by Napoleon Bonaparte. The Legion of Honor is France's highest decoration and recognized.
Special ceremony is taking place right now. That's the translator for French President Emmanuel Macron, who is speaking. President Biden is at that event as well. We'll hear more from some of the dignitaries later on this morning. A local D-Day veteran is remembering the terror on the beach 80 years ago today. He says the sights, sounds, and smells never go away.
June 6th, it was very bad.
Floyd Sorensen was an 18-year-old Navy medic on D-Day, June 6th, 1944. He remembers it like it was yesterday.
It was noisy. It was smelly. The water was very, very rough.
Men died in his arms.
They were hurt in some cases so badly that there wasn't much you could do for them outside of giving them morphine or something to ease the pain.
He tells me one thing allowed him to survive.
If you never prayed before in your life, you're going to pray then.
John Merkier, WTMJ News.
80 years ago, the tide turned in history, and a large event still taking place right now overseas in Normandy. President Biden is there as well. Like we said earlier, there is going to be a state dinner tonight as well to mark the occasion.
A number of World War II vets yep. and those who were at D-Day, part of that operation, are there at this ceremony.
Monsieur Hilbert Margol, au nom de la République française, nous vous faisons chevalier de la Légion d'honneur.
We'll continue to monitor the ceremony taking place right now in Normandy. 6:38. Time to honor and recognize an everyday hero. Here is how we define an everyday hero. It's an average John or Jane Doe, sometimes local.
Who oh, good no tease there. Someone who lives close to me.
Yeah. A couple of Jane Does, perhaps, from Racine County, who had no idea when they got up one morning that they would be saving a life. Everyday Hero, sponsored by Azura Memory Care and Assisted Living, transforming the culture of care, Azura Memory Care. Today, we head to Racine County. Caitlin Aiken and Jessica Cortez, they were on their way to work on I-94. Two friends carpool when they go into work. So they came upon a three-car crash on the interstate at Elm Road there near Caledonia. They noticed a man wasn't getting out of one of the vehicles, so they stopped. Oftentimes, people don't even stop, right?
Well, right. Virtually no one does that.
Right? These two got out of their car and noticed, hey, that guy ain't getting out. He doesn't seem to be moving.
I remember just seeing him unconscious and just thinking we need to get him okay, get him to a point where he's breathing and his heart is pumping.
Yeah, Aiken tells TMJ4 News that they knew they had to get this guy help, that they had to move quickly because first responders hadn't been there yet.
Felt like forever, like 10, 15 minutes maybe. I mean, maybe it was only 5 minutes, but it felt like forever that we were, you know, assessing the scene, getting him out.
So Aiken and Cortez pulled the man from the vehicle. They took turns performing CPR on him before first responders arrived. The man survives. And Aiken and Cortez were both honored at the Racine County Sheriff Office Awards ceremony because of their work that day. Cortez had this advice for those who ever come upon a car crash scene.
Because you never know, like, what happened in the accident. You don't know, like, if there's children or if, you know, they're not breathing. I mean, my advice for people would be, like, if you can stop, stop. You never know. You could save somebody's life.
That's right. Just like you did, Jessica.
You could end up on the radio.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Caitlin Aiken and Jessica Cortez, for your inspiration. Thank you for being an everyday hero. Everyday Hero, sponsored by Azura Memory Care and Assisted Living, transforming the culture of care.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Vetrano.
The Brewers are off today after getting swept by the first-place Phillies. Now, the offense just couldn't get going. Final score on Wednesday afternoon, 2-0. Despite getting shut out, however, manager Pat Murphy is smiling today. He's very content with how his team played against one of the best squads in the league.
It's a fun thing sitting in my seat when you know you just lost three close ones, but you still really like your team.
Pitching really did look really good, considering what they've had to do with their pitching staff. Aaron Ashby pitching for the first time this year. 5 innings, 2 hits, a 2-run shot by Nick Castellanos, the only real blemish there.
I think the whole organization's got to be ecstatic that he's back throwing the ball better and on his way to being the guy that we always knew he was, you know, and then some. He's got a bunch to learn, but this has got to boost his confidence, being able to hang in there the way he did, compete the way he did.
So you can imagine Ashby likely going to be on the hill again, especially with Gasser out. He's injured at the moment. Brewers and Tigers starting tomorrow. Of course, you'll hear those games right here on WTMJ.
Green Bay Packers wrap up OTAs in Green Bay today. And remember, you know, all the coaches we've heard from over these last couple of weeks in the offseason, the players talking about this and that, all of it.
I mean, listen, we're talking about practice. Not a game, not a game, not a game. We're talking about practice.
So what happens when all we have to talk about is practice? Reporters start to stir stuff up a little bit. We got to find something else to talk about.
I don't know what you mean.
So Packers quarterback Jordan Love, he's got 1 year left on his short-term extension. So where's the long-term deal? ESPN analyst and former NFL GM Mike Tannenbaum thinks that if Love is patient, his $50 million a year deal or so that he might be due could turn into a 60-plus.
In terms of the number, if I was him, I'd play it out this year and walk in and say, hey, I want that number to start with a 6 next year. Because, again, given his age and his ability, I think time's on his side, so I don't think if I'm Jordan Love, I'm in a rush to get anything done.
Tannenbaum joining ESPN Wisconsin's Wildy and Tausch this week.
I don't know. Is it worth the gamble?
I don't think it is. I mean, we heard from ESPN's Adam Schefter earlier. He thinks both sides want to lock in a long-term deal before the season begins. Schefter thinks it gets done either this month or first couple days into training camp in mid-July.
But if you have the opportunity to be the highest-paid QB in the league, you jump on it.
See, I think that's an ego thing. I think you're right on that. But
like, some people have that ego.
Fair enough. But this isn't the difference between winning the lottery and not winning the lottery, right? This is, well, I could make $50 million a year or I could make $60 million a year. Like, you're already super rich.
Right.
So for me, I'm taking it right now. As soon as I can put my name on that.
All right.
Then we'll see what happens. Who knows? That's out there and still happening. Should mention Milwaukee Admirals calling all fans must win tonight. They're now down 3-0 in their Western Conference final series to Coachella Valley. Puck drops at 7 p.m. at UWM Panther Arena.
After winning back-to-back national championships with the UConn Huskies, head coach Dan Hurley said he'd never leave UConn. But now it appears he's leaving. ESPN reporting that he is likely to become the next head coach of your Los Angeles Lakers.
You remember what you got in the ACT?
I think it was a 24 or 25.
Yeah, I'm in that neighborhood as well. I think I could have done better.
Yeah, well,
do you think you could do better now if you took it today? That question next on Wisconsin's Morning News. Oh, 6:53 on Wisconsin's Morning News, joined now by ESPN's Jen Latta, who is going back to school. My daughter's taking the ACT tomorrow.
Oh, really? Maybe I'll see
so
her
maybe
there.
So maybe you'll be in class with her.
We could sit next to
Not
each
tomorrow,
other.
Saturday.
Saturday,
cost
yes.
you a day. What, you're going to take the ACT.
Yes, begrudgingly. Well, I don't want to take the ACT. It's not like I was like, you know, it would be super fun in my off season. Take a 4-hour standardized test. No.
Why is this happening?
I lost a bet. Craig Karmazin had cover 5. He has cover 5. It's a thing we do at ESPN Milwaukee, Good Karma Brands. And I lost. I finished dead last in the league 2 years ago. Not this past football season, okay. but the previous football season.
And he remembered?
Yes. Not only did he remember,
one of those where you make
Kyle
the bet
Wallace remembered, Ben Brust remembered.
In.
They all were like, when is Latta taking the ACT? So Saturday is the big day. And I have maintained the stance of, I don't care what I get on the ACT. It has literally no bearing on my future. You think ESPN is going to roll in and be like, well, since you got a 12 on the ACT, we are, you know, rescinding your contract? No, I think I'm good. However, the guys have got me freaking out. So last night I did take 30 minutes-ish, and I took two practice tests. I took a math and an English practice test.
How were you feeling about that then?
I got them all right.
Really?
Very good.
Every single one right. So it's a smattering of English. It's a smattering of reading. I'm going to crush the reading, guys.
Yeah,
because the
say,
reading
be
section
sure
is, they give you a section of reading, and you have to and have underlined portions, and you have to say if the underlined portion is proper grammar, which is literally what I do for every single feature I've ever done in my entire life, right? It's like writing stories, and does this sentence lead well into this sentence? Should there be a period here? So I feel very good about that. Math I was a little nervous about. There was like tangents. And
when's the last time you used the quadratic equation?
And that type, but I was like, okay, come on, I can solve for X, and I did. So that maybe is giving me an inflated sense of confidence going into it, but also I don't care what I get on the ACT.
I'm trying to think of what your over under would be, and Pancake suggested maybe 18 and a half would be the over under. And that seems a touch high, maybe, for someone who hasn't been in a school in 20
right. That's
years.
The thing. It's not that you're not smart or whatever, or even have learned things as an adult, but that you're so distant from that immediate learning that is, you know, being tested.
The recollection.
Right? Yes, exactly.
And new math and all. Right. Who knows?
So the good news is, Chase is 15. Chase is my son. He's 15. So he does go through some of these things in some of his classes. And occasionally he will ask
help.
For help with homework. And so I will be a little immersed. I'll parachute into a lesson and then I'll quickly parachute out of the lesson. But the point is, after seeing some of the examples of the questions, I was like, oh, I got this. And you want to know something? They really try to confuse you with language, right? There's like a train is traveling in this direction going 60 miles an hour. An opposite train is traveling 40 miles an hour. It leaves from point B. You're at point C. When do the two meet at point D? You know what I mean? There's like a lot of like that happening. I also think I'm going to do the thing where too long didn't read. I think I'm going to do the, if it's too long, I'm going to not read it. I'm going to skip over and go to the next one. Yep.
There's test taking strategy, no doubt.
There's clocks. You get timed. Do you have enough pencils?
I don't have any pencils, so I got to take care of that. I will also tell you this. The guys made fun of me for this. I forgot that you need a calculator for the ACT.
Yes.
So that's fun. I said to Chase, can I borrow your Texas Instrument, please?
Need your TI here on loan.
No cell phones. You can't have your phone on you at all.
Yep.
You cannot even pop out of the room to look at a phone because they're worried you might be cheating in some way. That's going to be the toughest.
I'm not going to cheat.
The toughest thing is going to be not having my cell phone for 4 hours, you guys.
Oh my gosh.
That's your chief
Will
word.
You please be Drew Barrymore and like dress up like a high school kid?
Josie Grossi?
Yes, and see if you can blend in. Hey, how's it going? Like talk to the kid next
Fellow
to you.
Fellow kids with my skateboard on my shoulder.
Yes, please.
I cannot wait for this sucker to be over.
Report back to us.
Well, I certainly will.